Welcome to A Different Way of Traveling. This is a podcast where we discuss travel for persons with disabilities and special needs in South Africa and beyond with our host, Lois Strachan. Join us as we share inspiring stories of people who travel, exciting, accessible travel experiences, and showcase service providers who will accommodate those with special needs. And now, on with the show.
Hi everyone, I'm Lois Strachan. You're listening to A Different Way of Traveling, a podcast on accessible travel brought to you by Accessible South Africa. Today, we're interviewing an international guest, speaking to Anjali Singler from Delhi in India on the topic of psychosocial disabilities and particularly travel with chronic anxiety disorder. In the second half of the show, we're asking you to help give a child with a disability the gift of adventure with the Warrior on Wheels Foundation and the Cape Town Cycle Tour. But first, let's dive into that interview with Anjali Singler. Today on A Different Way of Traveling podcast, we're talking to Anjali Singler from Delhi in India. And often when we talk about travel and accessibility, we talk about physical access for people with mobility impairments or sight impairments or even with hearing impairments. But very seldom do we talk about the aspect of psychosocial disabilities. And today we're going to be chatting to Anjali about that subject. Anjali, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Maybe we can just start by asking you to introduce yourself to the listeners. Yes. Tell us a little bit about yourself and the work that you do.
So I'm Anjali, and I am a psychologist by training, and currently I'm working with an NGO in India called the Banyan, who specialize in working with homeless individuals who experience mental illnesses. And I work as a research associate and a part-time faculty teaching at the Department of Psychology, with my areas of sort of expertise being trauma psychology. And I work with refugees and tribal populations. From January onwards, I will be taking over the Movement for Global Mental Health as the principal coordinator.
And you yourself live with a psychosocial disability, am I correct?
That's correct. So I was diagnosed with major depressive disorder with anxiety at circa 2012. And since then, I have been on and off medication and, you know, various forms of therapy.
The focus of our podcast that we're talking on today is around the concept of travel. That can be both local or international travel, travel for leisure or business. So can you tell us a little bit about the travels that you've done and the type of impact that the condition that you live with can have when you're traveling?
Yeah, so I've traveled both internationally and nationally, and over the last 9 months, there has been increase in the amount I have traveled due to work and other reasons. And I have realized that, you know, I'm prone to anxiety attacks on planes, and flying is particularly scary for me. So I consciously try to avoid late night flights, because that seems to be a trigger for me. And oftentimes when I'm traveling, a lot of negative thoughts, they start, and I'm not able to sort of control my triggers. For instance, till last year, I refused to travel in trains. And the only reason for that was because I'm so unfamiliar with, you know, what is going to happen? What if I miss the stop? And these things cause for me to have very restrictive movements. And it's actually often misconstrued as me not wanting to travel. So it does impact at some level, you know, the work that I do or my, social commitments in many, many ways.
When you're traveling, are there processes, routines, or even technology apps that you're using that help you to manage that anxiety?
Yes. So actually making lists and having a record of what needs to be done next is a very calming process for me. So what I do is 2 days before I travel, I need to sit, have a list of what needs to be done and what is sort of a plan of action. And the app that I use generally is Trello, T-R-E-L-L-O. And there is it helps me plan my schedule better. So basically, it comes down to planning and organizing what the next 2 days before the travel and on the day of travel look like. So even if it is like that, and I have this sort of a habit or a routine to reach the airport or the station at least 2.5 hours prior, even if that's not needed. And if that doesn't happen, I start spiraling. So I'm very particular that I don't change, you know, certain routines. And like, I don't take aisle seats, for instance. I only take aisle seats, for instance. I never take other seats because, again, that's a ritual in my head. And it helps me stay calmer.
So the challenges then for you when you're traveling, if plans change, that would just increase your anxiety?
Yes, definitely. And if that happens, then I'm not able to function. In some cases, generally my sort of, you know, problem solving abilities don't work, and I'm very easily flustered, and I sort of I can't plan my next step. So it's very, very important for me to stick to that plan. And that is why even flight delays or cancellations, I don't cope with them very well.
Would you kind of talk us through some of the challenges that you face when you're traveling and you know, either internationally or locally? Maybe we can look at them in two separate conversations.
Yeah. So, for instance, international travel, you know, there is more paperwork involved. There is more, so to say, in my head, I would say the probability of something going wrong is more. And that could be as simple as my documents not being enough or losing something or missing a connecting flight. So what helps me really is just, so I tend to open, I keep notes open in my mobile and I keep on writing as to where I am currently and then where do I need to go next. And talking about travel within the country, I think only this year I pushed myself a little and I started traveling in trains. And that was my way of sort of, you know, addressing the issues that I face. And so it would mean that I was at the station about 2.5 hours early when you don't need to do that. Or I would just make sure that, you know, I keep on repeatedly checking the ticket that I have is correct, the platform that I'm on is correct. And I tend to keep my anti-anxiety medications very handy because on trains, I don't know, but what if the trigger is more? But apart from all of that, what I really struggle with sometimes is the local commute, you know, because traveling in the metro and buses can come with their own set of stressors. And that includes being in an overly crowded space and also instances of the fear of, harassment or assault in many, many cases. So that further becomes an added stressor when it comes to daily commutes.
How do you mitigate some of those anxieties? Because there's not a lot you can do about how busy the services are.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Are there ways that you can, or practices that you can implement to help mitigate the anxiety?
Yeah, so I often choose certain timings to the extent that I can when I know that the lines won't be that crowded, or I generally put on some calming music or noise canceling headphones that help me, distance from all that is happening around, and that helps me sort of keep going. Oftentimes, when I'm not able to cope with the crowded space, I get off at the next station, and I prefer waiting for a train that may be comparatively emptier, to than continuing the whole route in the train that I actually boarded on.
Those sound like some very practical suggestions and practices that you're using. Understanding that some features and some factors around travel can't be impacted on too much, what advice would you give to service providers on how to make their services more user-friendly for persons mm-hmm. with psychosocial disabilities, and more specifically with your anxiety, the anxieties that someone like you have?
Mm-hmm. I would say that our, very hardworking individuals in travel industry, if there is a basic amount of training in identifying distress of somebody with a psychosocial disability, would be a good start. Because oftentimes when you make a certain request, whether it could be, something as simple as accommodating a request to change the seat, or, asking for assistance, there is often a sense of, this doesn't seem like a real concern to me. So a training there would be a good start as to how do you address somebody who's coming with some sort of, psychological distress. And also, there should be, I would say, ideally, if there could be some spaces that are relatively calmer or safe for individuals who need to sort of take a minute from all that's happening around them, and they can, something like airports generally have changing rooms for mothers, right? Something as simple as a space for individuals who just need to sit for a minute calmly, because that is not what you get often. And that would be, I feel, very important in helping individuals with psychological disabilities.
So the ability to feel that there is a safe space mm-hmm. for them to kind of regather their energies?
Yeah, and also that the individuals who are providing you the service, they understand, if not fully, but can at least don't make you feel like what you're experiencing is completely invalid, and that what you're verbalizing to that particular person is not worthy of any attention. Because in my travel around the country, I have seen so many times individuals struggling with certain issues and not getting proper help because it's seen as something that's not very worthy of attention.
I think in many ways, that's one of the biggest challenges, because for someone like me, who's totally blind, my disability, my condition is fairly apparent. I have my white mobility cane, or I have my guide dog with me. That's a signal to someone that my needs are apparent. It is obvious. Where I think one of the challenges with psychosocial disabilities and any of the so-called invisible conditions, it's a lot harder to recognize that there is a legitimate real need for assistance. Would you agree with that? That that's one of the challenges?
Absolutely. And however, I feel that it's high time that we address this concern, because especially, you know, LAMIC countries and countries like India, which have one of the highest rates for mental illnesses in the world, it's high time that we make these illnesses visible to other people. And we have a dialogue or have a conversation about these things, in not just in probably travel, but hospitality industries as well, and say that we need to make more spaces accessible to all kinds of people. And yes, we are still fighting, and we are still, you know, we still have this movement that is trying to make spaces more accessible for individuals with physical disabilities. But at the same time, we need to join in, you know, with more sort of vigor with people with psychosocial disabilities as well. And that's how I feel it will also be more impactful to sort of bring about some change in this context.
I think it's a very important conversation to be having. Mm-hmm. And I think the work that is happening through organizations like yours and the Global Mental Health Organization, the network, peer network, is such an important conversation. What advice would you give to someone who suffers is the wrong word, who lives with anxiety, about being able to get out and travel? What advice would you give to them to help make it easier for them?
I would say, take it one step at a time. I know this sounds like a very generic advice to give, but that is what I feel has been working with me. It's very important to not overwhelm yourself, but at the same time, try to push, you know, little by little. So for instance, if there is a particular means of travel that you're absolutely not comfortable with, try exposing yourself to it in a small way. It could be taking a bus ride from the first stop to the second stop, or it could be just going to a metro station and coming back out. And with anxiety, what often helps is a sense of familiarity, because the uncertainty is what gets to you. So try to familiarize yourself with the space. And if there is a route or something that you're not absolutely sure about, it always helps to read about it. I have this habit of opening the website of a particular airport where I'm going and understanding about the airport before I go there. And that particularly helps me. So take it little by little, take it one step at a time, but at the same time don't restrict yourself to absolutely, you know, not trying at all. That would be my advice.
Thank you. I'd like to move to a more general topic of accessibility and to ask what you think about the general accessibility in terms of physical access of your city, your country. What would you feel the accessibility is like generally in Delhi and in India?
That's a very important question.
It's a huge question, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And the thing is, India is very, services are not same in each city. So it depends a lot on several factors. But for instance, the accessibility for Delhi Metro is not the best, but it's still way better than what the Chennai Metro has to offer. So there are varied levels of accessibility, and that further complicates the entire movement here in India. But most of our physical spaces are not very, accessible, sort of accessibility friendly. But at the same time, things are changing. So what we have here in our country is something called the Right to Information Act. So people are writing to their local governments and local, officials, and asking, why is it this way? And why are you not building a ramp here? Or why are you not building, the required infrastructure here needed? And that is working. So gradually our community parks, our monuments, they are in process of working, of being more accessible to all kinds of people.
I had the opportunity of spending a week in Kolkata a few months ago. Mm-hmm. And I was very aware that the areas that are accessible, I thought the accessibility mm-hmm. was fantastic. But mm-hmm. as you've said, I think there's still a fair amount of work to be done. And I know there's a lot of people who are doing amazing work to increase the accessibility of other areas within India and within their specific areas. So thank you for your comments there. It's always useful. And I think you also underlined a very important factor that I do hear repeatedly on this podcast, mm-hmm. that research is fundamentally important if you're wanting to travel outside of your own environment. To research to find out what is possible, what challenges you may have, what opportunities you may have. So I think it's a very important part of traveling for those of us with disabilities.
Definitely.
Anjali, would you let us know if people would like to contact you? How can they get hold of you?
Definitely. Anybody can write to me at anjali@balm.in. That's ANJALI at BALM.in.
Great. Thank you. So my final question then, why do you think that travel is important? Just generally, why is it important for people? But even more specifically, why is it important for those of us who perhaps have a condition or a disability or are living with a condition that may make challenge just that little bit harder? Why is it important?
To begin with, of course, travel is very important. You get to see what else is out there in terms of, of course, seeing different places, meeting and learning about different cultures. But when somebody has a psychosocial disability or a physical disability, there is often a conditioned aspect of this is not for me, and often a sort of helplessness. And I think it is so important to challenge that. And what I see travel is, it doesn't have to be absolutely on the opposite side of the world, but it could be as simple as visiting the next state that you live in, right? And challenging that thought that you're not limited by what you feel or you are taught that you're limited for, that it's not for you. And it is also important to learn and network and see that, okay, if individual in this part of the country or this part of the world is using certain techniques or methods to fight with, the limitations of the system, or even challenging their fears, is something that is very empowering and very motivating. And that's why I feel that travel is absolutely essential for individuals with psychosocial disabilities as well as physical disabilities.
Thank you so much. Some very insightful thoughts in that response. Thank you. Today on A Different Way of Traveling, we've been chatting to Anjali Singla from Delhi in India on the topic of psychosocial disabilities. Anjali, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast and for sharing some of your thoughts with us.
It was lovely. Yeah. Thank you for having me here.
Have you ever wondered how much the gift of adventure could mean to a child with a disability? Warrior on Wheels Foundation is a charity that gives disabled children the gift of adventure. They do this through visits to tourist sites and travel experiences that children with disabilities very seldom may get to experience. Each year, the Warrior on Wheels Foundation partners with the Cape Town Cycle Tour to raise awareness and to raise funds for the great work they do. For those who don't know, the Cape Town Cycle Tour is an annual cycle race of 35,000 cyclists that takes place around the beautiful Cape Peninsula. Amongst those 35,000 cyclists are a number of children with disabilities and support riders who assist them to take part in this iconic event. We'd like to ask you to help make the gift of adventure more possible for these children with disabilities by donating to the Warrior on Wheels Foundation. To find out more, hop onto their website on www.warrioronwheels.co.za/Cape-Town-Cycle-Tour and help make it possible for more children with disabilities and their families to experience the gift of adventure. Thanks for joining us on today's episode of A Different Way of Traveling. It's been great to have you with us. If you'd like to find out more about Accessible South Africa, hop onto the website at www.accessiblesouthafrica.co.za. And if you'd like to follow what I'm up to in my personal capacity, you can find me on my website, www.loisstrachan.com. Right, let's close out with our monthly travel quote. This time, it's an anonymous quote that says, "Travel is the only thing you buy that makes you richer." And on that note, we'll see you in the next episode.
That's it from us for this time. You can find Accessible South Africa on the web at accessiblesouthafrica.co.za, on Facebook and Instagram at Accessible South Africa, and on Twitter at Accessible SA. You can also email us at podcast@accessiblesouthafrica.co.za. Editing by Craig Strachan, using Hinderberg software. Our theme music is by Lu Chil Chow, based on a motif by Lois Strachan. Credits read by Musa Izulu. Thank you for joining us on A Different Way of Traveling. We'll see you next time. Until then, happy travels.